Welcome to Module 1 of the Creative Brief, your ideal client and brand clarity. I'm Hannah Fitz, brand strategist and business coach at hannahfitz.com. I welcome you to this program and for taking action on building a world-class brand that you can be proud of. You know, there's nothing more off-putting for both you and your clients when you're not comfortable with the brand image that you're putting out there. When you're trying to build a brand online, especially as a small business, it's very important that you focus on building a premium quality brand and brand image to support it. Especially, you know, this becomes very important when you're really serving a low volume customer base. You're not serving perhaps initially millions and millions of people. Or perhaps you decided you wanted to focus on a niche. And so there's only a small group of people that you can serve, but you can serve at a very high level. And so it's very important that you have a brand image that supports that. A lot of customers purchase from brands that they can identify with. When you see a sign outside of a store, you know immediately if this brand is the type of brand that you want to do business with or not. So image is everything. Image says a lot to your customer about who you are, what you do, and whether you're the type of brand that relates to them, their lifestyle, their needs, and where they see themselves going. You know, obviously, if you look at a brand like Louis Vuitton is a luxury brand and it focuses its key target audience is the very high end of the market. However, there are the aspirational customers that Louis Vuitton does not forget that, you know, these people, they aspire to own our products. And so we're going to maintain that image that is aspirational. That is what luxury brands do. They create an image that is aspirational, that their clients haven't quite achieved it yet, but that's where they want to go, and they know that this is the brand that will give them a sense, a feeling that they are there. And that's what you need to do through your brand image. But before we do all of that, in this module where we talk about your ideal customer and brand clarity, as with everything else in life, there is a structure in order to building an effective brand. Now, you can have an amazing brand image, amazing design, but if your audience can't connect with it, then it's a failure. Now, I've seen brands who do not have such a great image, and they're totally connecting with their audience and they're getting business. But when you're operating in an online environment, I really feel that image plays a stronger role than it did maybe 20 years ago when you had a physical structure and people knew you for your competences and you were meeting people face to face. Running an online business, most times when people encounter you, they encounter your brand first. They encounter your social media accounts, your websites, etc. So it's really important that you zero in and really get the process right. And to do this, you're going to go through the process in this program, in this module, of the 5 W's that you must get clear about when creating your brand image. Now, whether you're planning on DIYing your brand image, which I suggest that you get it professionally done, because if you're looking to attract ideal clients and you're really looking to create a high quality business, you really should be investing in a high quality brand, professional brand image. Okay, don't go for the cheapest bidder. Look for a designer that really understands your vision and that can really create a brand that is timeless and that captures the true essence and personality of the brand that you can be proud of. Don't go to the cheapest bidder. So the 5 whys that we need to clarify about your brand are why, who, what, where, and when. The first one we're going to talk about is crafting your why. Why are you in business? Now, a lot of people might jump to the first answer, which is to make money. And that's a legitimate reason too. But customers connect with a stronger reason for being. The landscape of how we build brands and reach customers have changed due to the internet. And creating a real connection that goes deeper than product or service is increasingly becoming important for brands. Customers buy into experiences. They buy into stories and they buy into journeys. You have to be willing to sell much more than products and services. You have to sell the why of your brand. You have to get into purpose branding. So as I said, the focus has shifted from selling products to focusing on the customer and now to the human spirit. This is the evolution of marketing. Before, people sold products. They made products, they put it on the market, people bought them. It shifted again, and there was a customer focus. So what does the customer want? How do we best satisfy the customer's needs? Today, brands need to go into the soul of the customer. What is their truest heart's desire? What are some of the things that move them emotionally? Branding goes deeper than just the surface. At every level, you must be looking to connect with your customer at an emotional level. So this course is not about spirituality. This is a course on reaching the hearts of your ideal clients through intelligent image building. The old build it and they will come model is growing cold. That must really explain, as the Bloomberg report says, that 8 out of 10 entrepreneurs who start businesses fail within the first 18 months. Markets are becoming more and more saturated, and information is moving at the speed of light. If you want to connect with your customers, you have to go deeper than products and services to driving a cause. There's no need to imitate your competitors or to try to compete on price. That is a losing game. This will only deprive you of creating a compelling competitive advantage, an authentic connection with your ideal customers. Competing solely on price puts businesses in a vulnerable position long term. If you ever attempt to compete on price, there's always going to be someone willing to price you out of the market. When you operate on a clear why, you are able to rise above the competition and offer a unique experience that high-value customers are willing to pay for. Don't just imitate in the market. Even when you're creating your brand image, try to create something that is authentically you and that represents what you stand for as a person. That is what's really going to differentiate you. Yes, it's good to look for inspiration in brands around you and people around you, but always infuse your authentic nature because people connect with authenticity. High-value clients are constantly on the search for high-quality services backed up by a meaningful cause. So, you know, one thing I always remember is my journey in Italy. I lived in Milan for 2 years, and it is the industrial center of Italy. It is the fashion capital of Italy. And I attended lots of trade events, lots of industry events while I lived there. And one thing I remember encountering that I'll never forget are niche perfumes. And some of these perfume makers, I really connected with their story. There was one brand in particular, which was called Rosé. And their family had been in the perfume business since the 1700s. And they had been able to produce perfumed gloves for people like Napoleon and his wife and all of the aristocrats in Europe at the time. The family legacy continues through this niche perfume. And the reason why they're in business to create not just a perfume as you will see with other designer brands, but to create a unique experience that is a journey through time. It is timeless. It is traditional. And at the same time, they maintain the authentic production process of their forefathers. Now, when you go deep into a story of a brand like that, you never forget it. You never forget the connection. And you truly feel like you are part of the story every time you use that brand. I like what Simon Sinek said. People don't buy what you sell. They buy why you sell it. And you need to be able to look past the products and services that you're going to put your stamp on, your mark on, and really look at why you are doing it. And to create an experience, to draw people into that experience. Clearly defining why you do what you do and why people need to have it is a key to successful branding. Brands like Apple don't just sell products, they sell movements. Apple challenges its customers to think different. When the late Steve Jobs and his friends built a company, they wanted to create a different product, a computer that was easy to use and friendly. They were challenging the status quo, and they asked their customers to join the movement and do the same. Do you get where I'm going with this? Your job as a business owner and marketer is to have a cause. What are you trying to change in the world and in people's lives and in your community? Why should they join you on this journey? If you are able to approach business and brand building in this way, you have a better chance of building a community around your brand and a loyal following of customers that you love to serve. So let's look at how you go about defining your brand purpose. Your first job in this program is to clarify what business you are in and why. A great brand image comes with clarity of purpose. Your brand purpose should identify what you believe has to change in the world or the industry and how you and your brand will make this change possible. This is very important. We can't skip over this. How will your brand make this change possible? Every visual tool thereafter should represent the purpose of your brand. Complete this exercise in the workbook and clearly state why you are in business. What purpose or cause is driving you to start this business or share your work with people? And you know, you need to think about when you wake up every day, what gives you the motivation? What is your compelling reason to keep going and to keep serving and to keep giving and to keep aspiring to reach more people through your work? Apart from money, what is your motivating factor? What is your deep passion? Tap into that and infuse that into your image, and you'll have one irresistible brand. So you can complete the exercise in the workbook and go through the process of creating your own brand purpose. I want you to keep a few things in mind when you're creating your brand purpose. You want to really think about what is achievable through your effort. So you don't want to create a purpose that you're not aligned with in terms of what you're working towards. It must be some kind of movement that your company and your brand is working towards changing and helping people achieve. What can you help people achieve and how can it impact their life? What can you do for your customer? Now, you really want to keep this simple and memorable. You want to focus on needs of the people that you serve. So it's not about you or your company. It is about what you're doing for the people that you're creating those products and services for and the community around you. What is the bigger picture impact of your work? Right? You also want to keep it broad enough. You don't want to make it product focused. You don't want to say something like to create health coaching products that enhance. You want to keep it broad enough that if your company changes scope in the future, that it has a clear mission and purpose that doesn't change. So like Walt Disney, they tell us that they're the happiest place on earth. They never talk about the amusement parks. They never mention the animated films. They tell us the happiest place on earth. And so you really want to keep it as a broad-based inspirational message or movement or something that you're doing that can transcend product lines. Because the goal is, of course, to grow in business. And eventually, you may want to expand your business into new areas. So you really want to think about a brand that has scalability. A brand that can be applied to different products and services. No matter what you're offering your customer, your purpose remains the same. Your purpose is unshakable. It is that pillar that drives your organization. It is that guiding light that tells people what they can expect from you and how you're going to impact the world and impact their lives. Once you have done that and you're really clear about what you want to do, why you're doing what you're doing, you really want to get into who you're doing it for. And that's where defining your ideal client is. Now, I know you're probably thinking by now, isn't this a brand image building class? Yes, but you can't start to create your visual brand image until you define the intangible aspects of your brand. This is very important. You get this right, and the right people will find you. The right customers will be magnetized to you. So it's very important that you spend time clarifying these areas, getting it right, so that you can transcend that information as codes through your brand image. So let's look at how you define your ideal client. And this is such an important process because there's so many people in business who do not have a clear idea as to who they're serving. Like they have this broad-based idea, but sometimes we find ourselves with all of our ambition all over the place trying to serve everyone. And in the end, we're not serving anyone and we're really not getting the results that we anticipate. So you really want to get clear as to who you're trying to serve. And notice I said who, because when we identify the ideal customer, you want to think about that one person. Now I want to bring in my reference, especially to the fashion world and luxury business. A lot of the international fashion brands, they have what they call muses. And that muse represents the ideal client. Usually the muse will take the form of a celebrity, like we have Keira Knightley representing the Coco Chanel brand. And we will see later how she really connects the ideals of Coco Chanel's ideal customer for the Chanel Mademoiselle perfume. And in terms of identifying and saying, this woman looks like me, I want that product. So you really have to speak to one person. You need to personalize and get clear as to who that man or woman is that represents your customer base. Now, you can have more than one persona. You can have one or two or three personas, but you need to get very clear on who those personas are so that you're speaking to someone. When you speak, you're having a conversation to your customer and you're speaking directly to their needs. You're speaking directly to their pain points. You're speaking directly to their desires, and they know without a doubt that you are the one who is best to serve them. So let's jump right in. Top marketers do not say they say you. Instead of identifying just a group of customers, you need to go a step further and identify one or two or even three specific people who represent your ideal client. Get clear about it. Who do you want to serve? Who would you absolutely love working with? What type of customer would bring you the greatest satisfaction? You know, it's so key because you can find yourself going in circles if you don't clarify that, and your message will be so unclear that no one will get who you're speaking to. So you really need to zero in on that factor. This is really fundamental in building a tribe. Like that one person, there are several other people who identify with the message and have a similar problem. They must all feel like you personally understand them. Now, I always remember that experience of sitting at a cafe the other day, and there was this lady across from me, and I looked at her. We're sitting in the same cafe. She has the same handbag as I do, the same sunglasses as I do, and it really brought home that people with similar preferences tend to have similar buying patterns. And that's why having a buyer persona or speaking to one person has become so important in marketing. Because there are several people who have similar buying patterns, who identify with each other, and who are all part of what we like to call a tribe. Right? So when you speak to your customer, your ideal customer, in a voice and language they can identify with, they will faster understand that your brand is the right brand for them and is aligned with their values and what they're trying to achieve in their life. If you understand their style, and in fact, if your image understands their, represents their ideal state, you're in a winning game. You have to embody what moves your ideal customer emotionally. Having a clear understanding of your audience and what type of visuals will make an impact with them on your website and blog, and even social media, is key. What is more important is that you are authentic and true to your own personal style. That is what people will fall in love with. They will fall in love with you. Now, believe it or not, I know there are people out there who might say, well, I'm not good enough. But you have to start to believe that you are good enough and that your style will magnetize the right people to you. Think about your ideal state, right? How do you want to be? Who do you want to be? And represent that, embody that through your brand. Because there are people out there who are aspiring to the same thing that you're aspiring to. So trust in your own self, trust in what you believe you represent and you stand for. And if you represent that in a strong way and you're authentic, you're going to find your tribe, because everybody has a tribe. And that's what makes marketing and business so interesting. And that's why I always say, you know, I don't really quite believe in competition, but rather collaboration, because I think that there's room for everybody. Everyone has a different style. Everyone has a different approach, and therefore everyone will attract a different type of customer. So be true to you and really bring that out clearly through your brand and through your movement, through your brand purpose, and, you know, the type of customers that you want to work with. Ideally, think about it. Who do you want to work with? Who do you feel like you can have a better connection with, and who can actually identify with what you stand for as a person? Get this right and your customers will say, you really get me. I once had a meeting with a client, and during the meeting, I listened to what the client wanted, and I was able to see between the lines, because most times when you sit with a client, they have an idea of what they want, but they can't quite articulate it and express exactly what they're trying to achieve. And so I took over and started to tell her, you know, based on your needs, this is what you really need to be doing, and this is what I believe will serve you. And when I was done, she was like, oh my gosh, Hannah, you know, this is exactly what I need. You're taking the words out of my mouth. You get me. And when she said it, it really resonated with me that if you really take the time to understand your customer, they will tell you, you get me, because you will be speaking their language and you will understand where they're coming from and you will know how best to serve them and what is the best recommendation for them at that time. So let's go again. Using this simple step, I want you to clarify your ideal customer. You really want to get clear at a broad level. So when you start to do this activity, and I want you to get out there and devote time to it, it really is worth it. I don't want you to make any assumptions as to what your customer might like or not like. You can initially do that, but you need to confirm it with the customers themselves, which is why I recommend a little bit of market research. Go out there, get the information so that you can be confident that you're speaking the right message and you're saying the right things to the people that you're trying to serve. So again, create right now. You're going to create like a broad description of your target audience. So this could be something like women, age 35, you can look at the sociographic information, their income, earning XYZ income, the geographic information, and of course the type of lifestyle that they're living or careers. Then you want to create some general assumptions. What do you think these women are currently suffering with in that product category, that area that you're trying to serve them? This will help you identify actual customers who match this persona. So what are they currently, they're probably struggling with? So if you're a health coach, maybe it's women who are struggling with weight gain, who are struggling with emotional eating and factors like that. So you really want to make those assumptions, probably women in high-pressured careers, etc. Once you've made those assumptions, you want to write down what you are going to do to help this client. So what can you offer clients like that? Once you've thought about what you think the true source of their pain is, and what is the, and who sees the value of removing that pain. So again, I put this question to you of who sees the value of removing that pain, because just because a customer has a challenge doesn't mean they're the one who finds that challenge valuable. So for instance, if you're like into childcare, children may have certain issues, but the person who might see the most value in having the pain removed is the parent. And so this is who you should be speaking to. So again, who will ultimately pay for the solution? Is it the person with the pain, or is someone else making the buying decision? It's important for you to know that. And are there enough people with this pain to justify doing this business in the first place? Once you've identified all these factors about your ideal customer, and don't worry, you don't have to rush through this now. It's in the workbook in the members area. You can download it and go through it at your own pace. I want you to make a list of people who match that profile. And then you're going to prepare an interview. And in your workbook, there's a guide to creating your interview. So you can go through that guide, create a questionnaire. I recommend using www.surveymonkey.com. And it's free. They allow you to do up to 10 questions, which I think you should try to narrow down your questions to at least 1 to 10. Because people are busy. They don't have time to do a whole essay questionnaire. So the shorter it is, the more likely you're going to get a higher response rate on your survey. So you do your client interview, and I've put some guidelines on some of the things that you should be looking at in terms of their background, in terms of their business role, education level, demographics, their challenges. What are the challenges in your niche? How is it affecting their life and relationship with others? What are their goals, their deep desires? What is their dream? How does their life look like after they've created that, they've found a solution that they've been looking for? Why haven't they found a solution now? Who are they trying to find a solution from? Feel free to interview people who are using your competitors at the moment, because they can tell you why they chose that company and what their experience is, what the gaps are, so that you can clearly find gaps that you can fill with your brand. Right? So once you've done that, it's time to create your buyer persona. And I have created a template that you can use to create your buyer avatar. I recommend, if you have an opportunity, you can use stock photos, find an image of someone who looks like your ideal customer. Now, I don't want you to think of this as discriminatory in any way. This is just for you to make it more real for you when you're doing the other aspects of your branding, for you to be able to look at the style and the composure of that person and really understand the mood that you're going for with your brand image. Okay, so you would prepare your buyer persona avatar. I strongly recommend this is going to be very, that this can be very useful when you're doing other things like copy for your website, blog posts, whatever else you're going to be doing going forward. So I recommend you print out, once you've completed it, the buyer persona avatar template. And you keep it close by to guide you through the rest of your brand building process and throughout your journey. You can have, as I said earlier, more than one buyer persona, so you can feel free to print multiple copies if you feel like you're targeting three different type of people or two different type of people. So I hope that this is very clear to you on how you clarify your brand purpose and looking at your buyer personas. I really feel like you should take the time to go through that activity. For the customer survey, I feel like you should interview minimum 10 people. If you do more, that's great. SurveyMonkey is incredible because it will be able to analyze the data and give you results. So it's really amazing. It's super easy to use. In your workbook, I've also attached a link to their tutorials so you can find information on how to build your survey. But this is an important step. Get your brand purpose right. Clarify that, why you're in business. What is the bigger reason for your business existing, and what change or impact are you trying to make in the lives of your customers and in the world around you? Clarify that, and we're well on our way to creating an irresistible brand. So let's continue on with the what of your brand. And that's where we look at your capabilities. What makes you different? What are you bringing to the market that no other brand on the market can currently provide? Now, I know a lot of people get stuck on this point because they can't see how they're different. But I can assure you that because of our differences in experiences, cultures, and several factors which play into who we are as people, each of us has a unique differentiator that cannot be compared to anyone else. So yes, you might provide a similar product and service, but I'm pretty sure that the way you will deliver it is completely different from someone else. So you have to find out also where your unique skills lie. And the uniqueness comes from a variety of things. So you might have a variety of expertise, experiences, maybe the culture you grew up in gives you a different perspective on a certain topic. And so you want to combine all of those unique experiences and skills to create a fusion and a recipe for your differentiating factor. In your workbook, you're going to list at least 3 to 5 strengths or areas of expertise where you can best provide real solutions for your ideal clients. Now, you need to think about what you're offering them in terms of products and services that's different. How can you take those unique skills that you've identified and really package it into a unique offer that only you can bring to the table? Now, whether you do this for coaching, consulting, self-study courses, blogging, a TV show, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that you understand how you can create the best value for the people that you're trying to serve. Because at the end of the day, that is what they're interested in. Once you've done that, you also want to look at what the new opportunity or lifestyle change is that you're offering under the what of your branding. What impact are you going to make on their lives once they've worked with you? So you really need to get clear about that factor. Having done all of that, we then move on to the where of your branding. How will you reach your ideal customers? Is there a particular place or platform that you know that they're drawn to and that you can actually reach them? There are several ways to build a brand and reach customers online. You can do it through your website, through LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Flickr, traditional media, webinars. You have a host of things. So think about that. Think about, you know, where you're going to reach your ideal customers. And of course, this has very good, it does impact what you're going to do in the visual aspect of your brand. If you determine where you're going to reach your customers, it will really help you identify the collateral material and the brand image that is best suited for these platforms and for what we call your customer touch points. So the touch points are simply anywhere that your customer can come in contact with your brand. It's called a touch point. So you really want to be able to identify all your touch points and really build your brand visual image around those touch points. So again, in the workbook, there is a form where you can write in what platforms and you know what maybe corresponding material or visuals that you will need for that. Then you look at your when. Now, I put in the when on from the perspective of you really setting a timeline and deciding when you're going to get your brand out there and visible. There's no point in building a stunning and signature brand image and you're not going to launch it out there. So I really want you to think about making a commitment and deciding when are you going to make yourself visible and put your brand out there, and when are you going to make products and services actually available to your customers. Put a timeline on it and really try to stick to it. So we've come to the end of this module, and I hope that you've really taken away some vital information. I encourage you to fill out the forms in the workbook. it really is important that you go through the process. This step will really help you get clear when we get through the other aspects of your brand building, and will really help you get clear on building the correct visuals to reach the customers that you've been dreaming of working with. So again, very important, get clear on your why, which is your brand purpose, your who, which is your ideal customer, your what, which is what are you going to be offering them, what are your capabilities, and then you want to look at your where, so how is the best way to reach those people, and your when, really setting a timeline to get out there and get visible. Thank you so much for listening.